The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Even in this atmosphere, and everything you have for us, we want you to know, Lord, that we are ready to receive all, ready to be blessed by you, to be changed by you. We receive mighty utterance throughout these 9 days of this meeting. We will not remain the same. Let this meeting not just go into our history, let it actually become a reference meeting. One that we can refer to and say that our lives really changed. Ones that we can refer to and say that you really transformed us. That's our expectation. That's what we want. We don't want to hold just another meeting. We don't want to just get excited. We want you to change us. Don't just challenge us, but change us. Don't just inspire us, but change us. Let your spirit transform us from inside out. Let this meeting be that revolutionary meeting for us. One which we will never remain the same and will never recover from. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Do you want to shout a good amen this evening? Good evening, everyone. Have your seat. Looking so good this evening. Glory to God. Amen. Okay, let's see what we can do today. It's the beginning, right? Amen. The increase of God. I don't know what you're expecting, but I tell you what to expect. Expect that God will touch you and will speak to you. I think that should suffice. If you are expecting any kind of thing to be said, you might be disappointed. You know, I struggled when the Lord began to speak to me about this meeting. I actually struggled to target Prosperity Summit. That's the truth. In fact, the first handbill that was out was not tagged Prosperity Summit. Amen. I had to recall it back and say, okay, let's do it again. Because this meeting is not about money. Are you following me? But it's still about money. And because they are going to prosper. Are you following me? One of the easiest ways to be poor is to live your life pursuing money. I'm just telling a very simple principle. One of the easiest ways, and I'm not just talking about spiritually, one of the easiest ways, at the end of the day, somewhere in the course of this teaching, we're going to address issues around money and finance. But one of the easiest ways to be a broke person is to live all your life pursuing money. Even if you get the money, you're going to be frustrated. Even people in the secular world, we tell you not to go after money. They may say things like, go after knowledge, you know, try to solve a problem. Have you heard all those kind of things? In trying to solve a problem, you're actually going to get money. It's actually true. Are you following me? And that's why, even in your walk with God, one of the most stupid things to do is to live all your life, and your life ambition is to be rich. Are you getting the point? Because if that's what you are pursuing, you might not eventually have the money. This just power this a little more for me. Amen. So when we're talking about the increase of God, we are not talking about just money. So today I'll just lay a foundation of, just so you can get an idea of what we're going to do in these 9 days. But we are going to be changed. That sentence or that phrase, the increase of God, was lifted from Colossians 2 and verse 19, which we're going to look at very shortly. Colossians 2 and verse 19. We'll come back to it today in our study. Okay, but let me just read it out to you. The Bible said, and not, in fact, let's start from verse 15. Colossians 2 and verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, and in respect of an holy day, of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from whom all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. That's where we got that from. Increaseth, so there is such an increase that is of God. Are you following me? There's an increase that is of God. And we're going to go to this scripture much later. But then, for now, just know that there is a kind of increase that God gives. And I would like to start by showing you that God wants you to have increase. God wants you to have that increase. There are a couple of scriptures that we're going to encounter in the course of our study. And they will convince you before the end of these 9 days that God wants you to have increase. In Psalm 115 and verse 14, the Bible promises us that God wants to have increase. Say, the Lord shall increase you more and more. You and your children. That's a promise of increase. You don't need Greek or Hebrew. The Lord shall increase you more and more. So it is in the character of God to want increase for his children. Increase for his children. In Job 8 verse 7, that we have on our handbill, it says, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. That's the plan of God. That you are permitted to start small. But his plan is that your latter end should increase. So God wants us to have increase. God wants you to increase. God wants you to be better than you are today. God wants you to make progress from where you are today. Right? But it would be good for me to say, like I've already said, that increase is of God. And I want to reemphasize that. We saw that in Colossians 2:19. Increase, the real perfect increase actually comes from God. You see, hard work is beautiful and hard work is necessary. But at the end of the day, one thing you must realize as we begin our study today is that it is God that gives increase. Man can put in his effort and should put in his effort. But at the end of the day, the real increase will come from him. Never forget that. And it is something that, you know, maybe when I'll be closing, I'll have to refer to it again. Because it's something you must never forget. One of the most deceptive things that the devil does to people is to bring them to a point where they begin to feel that the successes they have in their life came from their own efforts. And I've kept warning you about that, right? Because no matter what you think you've done to succeed, there are people that have done more than that. And they may not have had as much as what you have today. Are you following me? That's why the Bible talks about the increase of God. A kind of increase that comes from God and from him alone. So I want to reemphasize again, God is the one that grants increase. God is the one that gives increase. Give me like Amplified Classic. We're going to come to this verse later. Much later. But for now, let's just look at it. It says, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, supplied and knit together by means of his joints and ligaments, watch this, grows with a growth that is from God. There is a particular kind of growth that God gives. And one thing you should desire It's not just that you should grow or that you should increase, but that you should have the kind of increase and the kind of growth that God gives. It's different from other things. So, Paul recognizes that you can actually have different kinds of growth, but there's a particular kind of growth that comes from God. He said, you were talking about growing with the growth that comes from God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, which we are going to come to again in our study. I'm just trying to throw these scriptures here and there. When we'll get to them, we're going to study them better. Paul said, I have planted. Apollos watered. He said, but God gave the increase. And we're going to see later that this is talking about church growth. We're going to look at that very shortly. But even when it has to do with church growth, man can plant, another can water. Increase can only come from God. You must always realize that. Paul has planted. Apollos has watered. God gave the increase. And in verse 7, that's just in the verse, say, then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God that gave the increase. He said, the planter and the waterer are not as important as the God that gives the increase. I must always realize that. That even though you can plant and water, even in ministry, the real kind of increase comes from God. Never forget that. Never forget that. God is the giver of increase. God is the one that makes things grow. God is the one that brings increase. Hallelujah. So I'm not saying that there will be no effort. At least if you're looking at this verse already, you're already seeing effort. Paul planted. Are you following what I'm saying now? I'm not saying there will be no effort. Paul planted. The planting there is work. Right? But it is God that will give the increase. So for instance, because I want to show you, I'm talking about the all-round increase. I'm not just talking about increase in your finances. That's why I said this is not about money, but it's about money. I'm not just talking about your finance. I'm talking about all-round increase. And no matter the area of life you are trusting God for increase, only God can give the real increase. Your hard work can only bring you to a certain level. It cannot bring you to a certain level. You know, NLT of this verse said, I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. And that's the truth. It was God who made it grow at the end of the day. Are you following me? At the end, it is God that makes things grow. And I want to reemphasize so it can enter your head. That in your life, in your pursuit, in your spiritual journey, there are things you will have to do. But at the end of the day, it is God that will give you the increase you need. In your pursuit of life, there are things you have to do, but at the end of the day, it's God that will give increase. That's why, a word of digressing, I will say, anybody that wants to do this life without God is going to hit a dead end. I'm just telling the truth. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a pastor. Right? Anybody that wants to do this life without God will hit a dead end, because planting, there is planting. There is watering. But there is the God that gives the increase. That's God that gives. And this is something that even people in the other side have realized. That's why you see someone that wants to start a project. He goes to a native doctor to collect this and collect that. Now, he's not collecting those charms because he's not going to work hard. He is going to work hard, but he realizes that his hard work will have a limitation. I get what I'm saying? So he goes to get something, just like the politician is preparing for election. He's going to campaign. He's going to bribe people. You know how we do it, right? He will bribe people. He will do all the shady things that he's going to do. But after everything, he will still go to one babalawo. I get what I'm saying? Because he realizes that even all those things he's doing will not be strong enough to win a case. As a particular case like this, I don't want to give so much details, because some of you may know, it was a case that was overturned by the Supreme Court. Overturned. I know the point was, a day before that case, a day or 2 days, the man involved, dressed in some very satanic demonic regalia, and did the procession around the village. The day they were talking about the case, he was sitting in his house drinking. He turned in his favor. I'm telling you something I know personally, so let me not give you more details. Did a crazy demonic procession around this village. He was in his house laughing and drinking. The other guy was admitted in the hospital. I won't give you other details. I'm just trying to tell you, they realize that even though we can work hard, God is the giver of increase. The only problem is that that demonic thing they involve is never the real thing. You know, the increase that comes from God, the Bible tells us the gift of God makes rich and adds no sorrow. It won't bring you tears. Do you understand? You will not be sleeping at night and one eye is open. It brings no sorrow. It brings no sorrow. It brings peace. And that's one quality of what God brings. Anyway, so it's important that you see that God brings increase. I'm going to give you, there are four Greek words, right, that we're going to be looking at in the course of our study, that the Bible used to talk about, the New Testament used to talk about increase. Four words. Say amen. And we're going to look at these words. Now, again, let me refresh your mind. Why are we looking at Greek words again? It is because the New Testament was originally written in Greek. And it was now translated from Greek to English. It's just like when I write something in Igbo and they are translated from Igbo to English. You know, sometimes to be able to get to the real meaning of the things I said, you might have to refer back to that Igbo language. I get what I'm saying now. I can give you some examples. Maybe translate from English to Igbo. For instance, if I translating from English to Igbo, and maybe the person wrote, I told him to open the door and the window. Translate it to Igbo. Huh? Who has the answer? Babe, open the door and the window. Window is not Igbo. People don't know. And so you find out how you're going to translate that, you might say, what do we use now? Mpio. But door can also be... You can use whatever. You know, somebody can say, in Igbo, asimia mepe ono zonile. However I put it. But if you want to get to the real thing the person said, get to the original document written in English, you can say, okay, he meant door and window. So my point is that in the course of translations, sometimes the original things said might be lost. So in our study, it is necessary that we refer back. For instance, there are four Greek words I'm going to show you. The point is that almost every time you see these Greek words appear in your Bible, they will appear as increase. They'll be written as increase. But the fact that there is increase in this verse and increase in another verse doesn't mean that was the original thing that was written. The first of those words, for instance, is oxano. A-U-X-A-N-O. Oxano. What does that remind you of? Huh? Oxano. That word means to grow. It means to grow. To enlarge. So when we read Colossians 2 verse 19, where the Bible talks about the increase of God, that's what oxano, the kind of growth, is basically used for growth. Growth. Hallelujah. To increase, to grow. Another word is the word perisuo. P-E-R-I S-S-E-U-O. P-E-R-I-S-S-E-U-O. That word means to superabound. Glory to God. And God will do that for you. It means to superabound in quality and quantity. That's what it means. To superabound in quality and in quantity. You find that word, for instance, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 8, that's what periso, it means to superabound in quality and quantity. Bible says God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That word abound is the word periso. Other places in the Bible is translated as increase, but I picked this verse for a reason. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So when you say God wants you to abound, it means God wants you to increase. He wants you to increase in quality and in quantity, to superabound. That's also the word you find in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, verse 58, rather, where the Bible says, be ye steadfast, you know, unmovable, always abounding. That's the word increase. That's the word periso. Other places in the Bible, which I will still show you, they were rendered as, it was rendered as increase, but it actually means to superabound. Hallelujah. There's another word called prostitemi. P-R-O-S-T-I-T-H-E-M-I. Take it again. P-R-O-S-T-I-T-H-E-M-I. It means to add. To add repeatedly. To add. So when you read the Bible, Matthew 6:33, where the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and other things shall be added. That's what prostitemi. To add. We're going to look at these words. To add. Are you following me? To add. To repeatedly add, increase something. There's another word called prokopto. P-R-O-K-O-P-T-O. Take it again. P-R-O-K-O-P-T-O. It means to drive forward by beating obstacles. To drive forward. To advance. That's the word used in Luke 2 verse 52, where the Bible tells us that the child Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. He increased in wisdom. That's what prokopto. In other words, he drove forward, beating every obstacle. I get to the point. Advancing, bringing everything down on his way. He increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. And so if I can tell you what God wants to do for us in this meeting, God wants you to grow, to enlarge, to superabound in quality and quantity, to add, to drive forward, beating down anything and everything on your way. I take that again. God wants you to grow, to enlarge, to superabound in quantity and in quality, to add to yourself, to drive forward, beating down anything and everything that is on your way. And he's going to do that for you. So I'm not just talking about having money. That's what I'm trying to show you. I'm not talking about having money. I'm talking about the increase. It means it talks about growing. It talks about growth. It talks about enlargement. It talks about super abounding. It talks about adding to yourself. It talks about moving forward, bringing down everything that is standing on your way. And that's the plan of God. So when we're talking about God wanting us to grow or to increase, it's not just talking about adding some more money to your account. It's beyond that. And there are areas of life that God wants us to have increase, because God wants us to have all-round increase. All-round increase. Because I can say this to you, if the only thing increasing in your life is the money in your account, you're a poor man. Now, I'm going to say that again. And that's not just what beneficial speakers say. And I heard someone say that I liked it. He said, some people are so poor, the only thing they have is money. So poor, all they have is money. And it's always good when I hold prosperity summits with you to remind you of what I'm going to say now again and again. The fact that the whole essence of prosperity is not having cash. It's not. And that's why there are many people that have pursued money and they've lost things. They've lost their peace. They've lost their family. Let me say this to you. A man who has money at the expense of his peace and his family is a poor man. He has not just realized it. Are you following what I'm saying? What God wants to give us is all-round increase. So when people just hear me say I'm doing prosperity, somebody, they say, that church, they're about to talk about money. All these pastors like money, money. Well, you're going to hear money a lot, but that will be towards the end, sir, not even now. Because there are basic foundations. I get to the point. There are basic things because when God wants to bring you to wealth, definitely. But that's not the purpose of this meeting. That's just one of the purposes. God wants to give you all-round increase. Are you following me? Some people have money, but their spiritual life is at zero. And he thinks he's rich. He thinks he's wealthy. So by the time you look at your Bible and look at all these words I've given you, you will find out that there are many areas of life that God expects you to increase. Of course, we will get to that. Money is one of it. But that's not all there is to it. There are many other areas of life God wants to have increase. And I will be a bad pastor if I just tell you that all God wants you to do is to increase financially. I'll be a bad pastor. Are you following me? So the increase of God covers many things. For instance, I had to group it into three so that it can be easy for me to drive home to you. For instance, the first area that God wants you to increase is He wants you to increase spiritually. God wants you to increase or to grow spiritually. I'm going to look at that, but not today. I'm just trying to lay foundation. Once I'm done with this, we can pray and we go. From Sunday, we'll start running. Is that okay? God wants you to increase spiritually. To grow spiritually. And it's good I'm starting with it because that is the first thing God actually wants for you. Look at that Colossians 2 verse 19. Because that verse is actually talking about spiritual growth. Colossians 2 verse 19. And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increase the gift of God. Give me like NLT of this verse. Watch this. You know, he was talking about a set of people. He said they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with his joints and ligaments and it grows as God nourishes it. So he's talking about the body. What body is holding together? His body, the church. I said the church, that refers to you, will grow as God is nourishing you. What kind of growth is he talking about? He's talking about your spiritual growth. Your spiritual growth. And that's the first thing God wants for you. If you check Luke chapter 2 verse 52, the Bible tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, right? And in favor with God and man. That part is talking about having favor with God. It's talking about the fact that Jesus was making progress in his relationship with God. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'll tell you, the first one major place God wants you to increase is in your spiritual journey. In your spiritual journey. And I can show you a couple of verses that the Bible talks about increase, and all he's referring to is your spiritual growth. So if you think everywhere you see increase in the Bible is talking about you having money, then you're a bad Bible study student. Are you following me? There are many places in the Bible, and all he's trying to talk about is your growth spiritually. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, you see, I'll show you some areas God wants us to increase spiritually. For instance, Colossians 1 verse 10, he said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in what? In the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. That word increasing is that word oxano. Growing in the knowledge of God. So that's one aspect of us. For instance, one aspect God wants you to have increase in your spiritual journey is your knowledge of God. And so if you have money and you're not growing in your knowledge of God, then you don't have true increase that comes from God. The increase of God must include increase of your spiritual life. Look at that. That you might walk out of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So one aspect of your spiritual life that must make progress is your knowledge. Knowledge. That's why in the course of this study, I'm going to show you how you are going to increase in the knowledge of God. I get the point. How you are going to get better in the knowledge of God. How you are going to add to yourself to see that you are increasing in the knowledge of God. Because remember I told you that God is the giver of increase, but it doesn't mean that man will not put in any effort. Right? It's just that you put effort and God will aid that your effort. But that is effort you must put, and I will show you how. So Colossians 1 verse 10 talks about increasing the knowledge of God. Colossians 2 verse 7. Hallelujah. Say, rooted and built up in Him, established in the truth as you have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving. So God wants us to abound therein. What is the therein there? What should we abound in? Look at that verse. I'll give you some time to find it. Huh? Okay, we should abound in faith. What is the faith there? Why in class when I taught you that Not everywhere you see faith in the Bible talks about believing in Jesus. Do you remember that? So look at that verse again. Established in the faith as you have been taught. So the faith is referring there is a teaching, a doctrine. So you're now saying you should abound in that faith. Are you following me? So he's still talking about the fact that there is something you've been taught. God wants you to abound and increase in that knowledge. And that word abound in that verse is the word periso. I've given you that word, right? That's that word that means to abound, super abound in quality and quantity. So God wants you to increase in your knowledge, in whatever you've been taught, in the doctrine that you've received. So you must increase in it, you must superabound in it. So knowledge is one particular area that God wants you to have increase. Not just knowledge of physics, the knowledge of God. Are you following me? Knowledge of God. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, the Bible tells us to grow in grace. Give me that verse. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. He said, grow in grace. So that's another area that God wants us to grow. Grace. And that word grow in that verse is the word oxano. Oxano. To grow. So God wants us to grow in. It's another area still under this whole spiritual growth thing. That God wants us to make progress. And grace there can mean a lot of things. It actually means, of course, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it also means that, but then we can also say that God also wants us to grow in His graces and His abilities that's put inside of us. God wants you to grow in your knowledge of God. He wants you to grow in your abilities in Him. Some of you, for instance, that you notice that you can heal the sick. It's a grace that God has given you. We all have these gifts of God. God wants you to make progress in those graces. God wants you that if today you couldn't boldly lay hands on the sick, by next week you should be able to boldly lay hands on the sick. You should be growing in grace. Yes, the knowledge of God is the first. Then the graces He has put upon your life. Another scripture that talks about this very well is 1 Corinthians 14 verse 12. He said you must excel. Give me that verse. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12 said, even as you are students of spiritual gifts, you must seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. What is he talking about there? You must excel in prophecy. I've taught you that. Right? You must excel in prophecy. So in other words, a believer must be increasing in his use of spiritual things. How he prophesies. How he casts out devils. So in other words, if you are not making progress, in the past 1 year, you can't look at your life and say, okay, I wasn't praying this way before. Now I can pray this way. I couldn't stand before a devil to cast him out, but now I can do it. I couldn't say, thus says the Lord. I used to miss up my word of knowledge, but now I can do it better. You are naturally growing. It's one area you must pay attention to this month. I feel what I'm saying now. He said, as much as you are zealous, he told them, I know you are zealous for spiritual gifts. Zealous. They were passionate for spiritual gifts. He said, it's okay, but there is one. Give me NLT of that verse. Give me NLT. Because I just told you it's prophecy. Some of you are saying, how do you know it's prophecy? Read me, everybody read me. Seek those that will strengthen. So he's talking about the gift of strength to church. And if you read all of 1 Corinthians 14, you know it's prophecy. Give me Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. Right? He said, so it is with yourself. Since you are so eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowments and material of the Holy Spirit, concentrate on striving to excel and abound in them. That's what periso again, to super abound. Abound in them in ways that will build up the church. So he's saying you must always want to excel and abound in certain gifts. So ask your neighbor, is there a particular gift of the Spirit you want to excel with? Ask the person. But I know you came here looking for money. Is there a particular gift of the Spirit you want to make more progress with? Eh? Which one is it? Okay. Ask your neighbor, just do I mean Mona now and ask him, mean that person? Make sure he gives you an answer. They try to escape it by laughing. Get an answer from them, no matter how they smile. Which gifts do you want to excel with? Which gifts do you trust that God will give you increase with? Because the thing about it is, We all have received the Holy Ghost in us. All of us have these gifts. But you can make progress and increase in your usage of these gifts. So Paul is saying you should actually abound. So we're seeing that there are a lot of things, you know, we must make progress in our spiritual journey. That includes the knowledge of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I can also say you must make increase in your love walk. Philippians 1 and verse 9. Give me that verse. Philippians 1 and verse 9. Let's read together, everybody. Come on, come on, come on. I'll wait for you to get. Are you ready now to read? Let's go together. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and... So God wants us to abound in love. That's the word, periso, abound. To super abound in your love work. Because when I said, you must to super abound in quality and quantity, you said, yes, you think he's talking about money. It's not only money. You must also super abound in your love work. Are you following me? So if you are not increasing in your love work, you are not having the increase that God wants for you. You are not. Now, today is the beginning, but I'm just using it to challenge you. To know where to focus your attention. To know what to desire. To know the areas you are expecting that God will give you increase with. In other words, I should be a better forgiver this year than I was last year. I should be able to tolerate more this year than I tolerated last year. I should be more kind this year than I was last year. And I was telling someone yesterday, I said, one of the biggest virtues you look for if you want to get married to anybody, male or female, are you listening to me now? Is kindness. If you are not kindness, even if somebody speaks in tongues, not a very kind person, don't marry that person. Now, let me tell you, I'm not talking about someone that is kind to you. I mean kind generally to people. Watch how he talks to his siblings. Watch how he talks to his friends. Watch how he talks to the mother. Watch how kind. Because it is kindness in the heart that will make your husband to be very angry with you. He's very angry. But yet, you say, take this man and go and buy drugs. So he gets the point. He's very angry. He's not the one that says, I'm angry. He will not, you are sick. He doesn't, he abandons you, runs away. He's not angry. He's not a kind person. I get the point. He said, I am very angry with this man. I'm not going to cook for him. He should go and look. That office you used to go to, let them give you food there. It's lack of kindness. And I'm telling you, that's one of the major things I looked at for when I was trying to get married. I'm telling you, I looked for kind. Because you have to watch how the person relates with other people. Because I'm watching you wicked, you will not feel good. If they show you wickedness, you will not like it. A believer must be growing in kindness. Because kindness is an expression of the love of God. He must be growing in kindness. He was able to be more kind today than you were yesterday. I grew up in a place, you know, where, you know, the people that were our neighbors, some of them were not really very good people. But I still remember when we were young, if maybe they stepped out and then rain was falling, we would still go pack their clothes. I get what I'm talking about. It's just basic. Because they are wicked doesn't mean that rain should beat. See that clothes I wash? Rain should beat. I wanted to wash. I was trying to spread clothes. You still brought up and spread. God has scratched it. That's why rain started falling. You know, you should be a kind person. But this is not just about desiring and saying I will be. It is spiritual growth that brings you there. What I mean is, I should be more kind today than I was last year. I should be more kind to people around me. People around me should be able to look at me and say, you are getting more kind. You are beginning to forgive them more. You should be more tolerating than you were last year. It's one major area that you are supposed to have increase. Look at that. He said, you may abound. That's the word perishable, to super abound in quality and quantity. What that means is that the quality of your love work and the quantity of it, what is quantity? In other words, the quality of the love and the number of people you show love must keep increasing. You get the point? The quality of the love and number of people you extend that love to, you should forgive them all. If at this point in your Christian journey, there are still people you say, me, I'm forgiven, I can never forget. You still need help. And somebody asked me, thank you, Jesus, just remember this. Somebody asked me about this forgiving and forgetting thing on my status. I don't even know who asked me that. but I've not answered it. So I'm asking you now. God help you that are following this service now. Oh, yeah, in this church now. Right? Because I'm not going to answer you again after I answer this. Now, because, you know, Brother Egan, the book, you read the book of the month last month, right? Love the Way to Victory. He was talking about forgiving and forgetting. Now, I hope these children are crying is not distracting you. You know, I prayed for this day. That will be your children will be crying. I think it's normal. And it will happen more and more. Until we can begin to have children midweek service too. Very soon. Amen. But enjoy it. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Did you not read Psalm 115 verse 14? It says, the Lord shall increase you, you and your children. Glory to God. Where was I? Forgiving and forgetting. That book of the month. You know, but like it was like, if you forgive and you've not forgotten. And people say, is it actually possible to forget? Well, forgetting is not talking about you forgetting about the incident. You might never forget about the incident. But it might come to a time, of course you can forget about the incident, but I'll tell you how to get there. But look what I'm saying. You must come to a time, right, when if that incident is discussed, it doesn't have any effect in your heart like you used to have. I get to the point. When if they talk about how that girl broke your heart, you don't begin to feel bitter and say, God, you don't go better for the person. That's what I'm saying. And let me tell you, one of the easiest ways to forget this is to forget with your tongue. You know what I said? Stop talking about it. Very easy. Anything you are not talking about, you will eventually forget. And let me even prove to you that you are forgetting it. If you don't talk about it for long, after 1 year or 2 years, when you want to discuss it, you will not have all the details again. You can't remember everything and how it happened. You can just say, we just had one issue, Sha. I don't even know what we are talking about that day. You are forgetting it actually. So it's actually possible to forget. But how to forget is with your tongue. You don't forget with your memory, it's with your tongue. When we get to the day, I'm going to discuss this love work thing in this particular series. I'm going to show you how. You can use your tongue for God. And I tell you, don't talk about things, you forget them. Don't talk about things, forget them. How to keep things in your memories with your tongue. I get the point. So you keep, in other words, if someone is hurting you, one proof that you are making progress in your love work is that you get to a point, you stop talking about that thing. People say, what of that sister? I say, I don't want to talk about it. Let it go. Just let it be. So he said, you must abound more and more. That your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. But you also see knowledge in that verse. Because one of the ways to actually abound in love is still by growing in knowledge of God. I feel what I'm saying. So love work is a very key thing. You know, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 3, still, let me just show you one more scripture on love. If I just proceed. 3 verse 12, not 2 verse 12. Hallelujah. Let's be together. Let's read it again. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one to another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. You know, there were two words used there that I showed you. One, there is the word increase is that word. Okay. Did I show that word? Plinazo. I didn't show that word. Okay. Wow. Add it. Plinazo. Plinazo. How did I miss that? Okay, is it pleonazo? I'm not sure pronounce it. Pleonazo. It also means to superabound. Right? So it means the Lord make you superabound. And that word abound is that word periso. But what is it he's trying to make you abound in? To abound in love. So I'm just trying to show you, if you study increase in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, you will not see the Bible focusing only on finances. That's what I'm trying to show you. God also wants you to increase in love. So that if you're a married man, you're a married woman, you see, all this, how do they even say that in Igbo? All this ebidosionato kind of thing. Say, he's showing her love because they're just newly married. Let them go for that. I don't believe in that. I have never believed in it. As a matter of fact, what I believe is that how I love my wife now will be nothing compared to how I will love her in 15 years' time. And let me tell you why I believe that. It's not just what I say. Apart from the fact that I'm a believer, I'm growing in love. Are you what I'm saying now? But then secondly, that woman you are living with today, or that man you're living with today, you guys are still having some issues because you are getting to know the person. Why not see it from this angle that in 10 years' time, you would have known this person much more than you knew the person 10 years ago. So you guys should have been more peaceful and not quarreling anymore. You get the point? You know, when you meet people newly, when you guys get married newly, there are things they will do, you pick offense. But if you get the time, there are things they will do, you already know that's how she used to do, so you just let it go. I get what I'm saying now. Now, what it means that you are now growing in that love. But if your own is, I won't take that rubbish. Since we've gotten married, this is what we've been doing. Well, she has been doing since you got married. Get used to it already. She's not going to change. You've just given the answer. He says, since we got married, are you a one-way? Are you an unchangeable God? How come? That's what she is. Get used to the situation already. Because you should actually be getting better. And that's why one area that married people have to trust the Lord that this meeting will bless them is that your marriage will come out of this meeting stronger. Glory to God. Now, say my marriage. If you're not married, just leave it. Say my marriage. All of you are married. But you should come out stronger. I don't believe that. You should come out stronger. And when we talk about increase, talk to the Lord that the love you will love much more. You will love much more. You love your kids much more. The love in your heart should be abounding more and more in it. And not going down. Let your wife not look at you one day and say, I remember those days you used to buy me things. It should never be you. I'm just telling you the truth. I also look at it and say, Chai, those days used to call me sweet names. Are you following me? I'm just telling you, increase. This is one sign that you're increasing. You know, those days used to call me sweet names, but now, you don't see me finish. Here's my mouth, Ojuku. It can never be. You know, and what I like about this verse is that this verse made it very clear that it is the Lord that will help you do this. Say, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love. It's actually a prayer. It's a good place to say amen. Amen. Yeah, it's actually a prayer. If the Lord make you, give me like an NLT of this verse. New Living Translation. It said, may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow. Amen. Yeah, God can actually make your love grow and overflow. That when people hurt you, you want to be angry, but you cannot find anger in your heart to show them. You want to show them pepper, but you can't find the pepper. You're just eating tomato only. Glory to God. Trust God that the Lord will do this for you. And some of these I get, you know, even the thing about it is, I pray Pauline prayers a lot for myself. A lot. And many Pauline prayers are centered around this matter. You know, this is a Pauline prayer. Now, this prayer, you know, it's one of those prayers I pray for myself. I'm trusting the Lord that the Lord is making my love to grow, making me to grow and abound in love, that my love for people grows and overflows. I pray it for myself. I pray it for yourself too. Because when you get there, I'm going to show. That's one of the major ways to increase in this love thing. Because that area, you must touch it. Amen. Another area of growth, of increase, still under the spiritual increase thing, is that you must increase your generosity. Your generosity is one major aspect of growth and increase that you should trust God to bring you into. Still under your spiritual growth, because one major sign that you are growing spiritually is that you are becoming more generous with money. One major sign that you are growing is that you become more generous with money. Growth, you know, I've said it, I thought it was prosperity summit last 2 years. In your walk with God, increased in the world, wealth is measured by how much you have. In the kingdom, wealth is measured by how much you can give. That's why the Bible, read your Bible, the Bible for once never praised rich men. But the Bible praised givers.
take the whole Bible. Not once did the Bible give praise to any rich man. But it gave praise to rich men who were giving. So God is not impressed because you have a fat bank account. I feel what I'm saying now. You must increase in generosity. Give me 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Hallelujah. And this is another prayer and a good place to say amen. That God will increase from my righteousness. That word increase is what oxano. Give me like NLT of this verse. NLT of this verse. He said, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, watch this. He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So one of the areas God wants you, of course, he talked about increasing your resources, and we're going to get to that later. But he also talks about the fact that he's going to produce a greater harvest of generosity in you. In other words, one sign, one area that you must be increasing is in your giving. I used to give 3 naira. Now I'm giving 11 naira. That's a sign of increase. Sign of increase. Give me Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. He said, and God who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase, watch, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. What is the fruit of righteousness? Which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. So God wants you to increase in charity, increase in kindness, increase in generosity. And so a wholesome increase must include generosity. It's still under spiritual growth, though. I hope you know. Still under spiritual increase. A wholesome increase. So one sign that I'm a mature Christian is not that I'm frowning my face. The fact that I can give to people. It should be that, oh, you know, last year, all I could just help people with 2,000 naira. But now, 5 years after, 7 years after, I have 10 kids who are going to school because of me. 15 years after, I have 3 orphans I'm paying their school. I know what I'm talking about. 5 years after, you know, I'm sponsoring that church project. I've built 3 church buildings and giving to churches. That's growth. We can say, he's increasing. Not because the amount in his pocket is increased, but because his generosity is on the rise. Are you following me? Very clearly. In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7. So in this 9 verse 10, we see that word oxano. In 8 verse 7, it says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, and in your love to us. What did he say? See that you... Which grace is he talking about there? He's talking about giving. How do you know? Just read other verses. But let's see NLT so that it can be easier for us. Give me New Living Translation. Read it to me, everybody. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love from us, I want you to all excel also in this gracious act. That word excel, or the word abound, as King James called it, is still that word perisuo. Are you following me? To super abound in quality and quantity. In other words, God wants your giving to have quality and to have quantity. I get the point. Because by the time you now use the Greek to read this, it makes a lot more sense. So when it says excel also, it means the quality of your giving, the quantity of your giving, the frequency of it, how much you give, and how often you give should increase. Are you following me? So when we talk about that God gives increase, but do you see what I'm trying to show you? Do you see that even this increase in generosity, it is still God that works out that increase in people's hearts. What I mean is, when somebody that gives too much, it's not because he has too much. It's because God has worked on his heart to be able to give. I just told you, increase is of God. When somebody increases, he's now giving much more. Don't think, why won't he give now? They increase his salary. That's not why people give more. They give more because God has worked out much more increase in generosity in their hearts. There's an increase that has happened in their hearts that is making them give how much they're giving. I'm a pastor,
And I can tell this in confidence. I'm privileged to know a few persons' salary here. And the people that are very close to me, I have an idea of how much they earn and all of that. And I can confidently tell you that what I just said now is true. I've seen people that give more, give massively. And if I wasn't their pastor, I would have assumed that they're earning this and that. But I know what they're earning. After you see them give, you see not just give to church, you see what they do for people. You see how they help people. You know, I interact with people, you might not know. You say, I got this. Who gave it to you? Say, brother, this. Who gave it? In my mind, I was like, wow. Wow, not because the thing giving is too much, but because I have an idea of what that person is earning. And I have an idea of all that giving that the person is doing. I know what I'm talking about. I have an idea of what the person has pledged for spiritual help. I have an idea of how the person honors me. And in my mind, I'm like, this person also gave you this. I won't say it. I won't say it loud, but in my mind, I'm just going through my mind. It tells me that people, that increased generosity is God that works it out in the people's hearts. And I'm going to show you how it can happen. How God can work out that increase so that you think you are not giving because you do not have. You are not giving because something has not happened to you. Yes. Are you following me? And I'm talking that. And what is that will happen to you? It's not a spiritual. It's not like encounter. Be hands laid on you. Spiritual growth. If you begin to grow, you will also grow in generosity. It's as simple as that. If you begin to grow spiritually, you will also grow. Any spiritual growth you think you are having that does not include generosity, you don't know what you are growing in. Some people, all they plan out is to hear from God. And all they hear from God is God telling them, this brother is going to help you. That's the only thing they can hear from God. See, you know, I thank God for the way God has been speaking to me these days. I said, what did he tell you? He said, that guy will give me a shoe. He said, that one will give me a suit. He told me that one will give me a job. Oh, that's okay. Who has God ever told you that you will give to? He said, I don't hear such things. Glory to God. Now, that's not spiritual growth. That's pseudo growth. I get the point. That's the one-sided. That's the one-sided. I'm not talking about the kind of giving where you just gather money and you are giving and you are splashing it and you are snapping yourself and you are putting on Facebook and you are doing all of that. Amen. And I told somebody, I said, if I want our church to trend in the next 3 days, I can do it. Because I make bold to say that the kind of help being offered, financial help, from our church and from members of this church is massive. I just need to put it on Facebook. Everybody says, that's the church that Jesus died for. Who told you? But the plan of God is not that you splash all of this on Facebook. That's not the plan of God. Because actually, it's not about what you gave. It's about what is happening in your heart. Are you following what I'm saying now? And personally, well, I've said this many times. Right? I don't have any issue if you put it on Facebook. Especially if you are telling people to contribute money that you want to give. You want to help people. See, if they contribute money that you want to help people, when you help those people, you have to show them that you use their money well. Is that okay? But then I just want to add this. I don't know why God is bringing it in my heart. When you give to people, don't steal their dignity and their respect. Let me give you some examples. Don't ever become so rich that you get where people are gathered, just a random example, and just splash money for them and start struggling for it. That's a dishonorable way to give to people. You know, that's what we see all over the place. That's not helping the poor. I feel what I'm saying. Don't ever become so. And that's why, you know, because we want, you say, all of you, line up here. Just treating people as though they're what? Because sometimes you want to give them 10 cups of rice and one thing too much. And because some of those women, because most times widows are the victims of all this. They don't have. They just have to eat. You see them just take every shit from you. When we want to give to you here, we give to you honorably. Yes. We want to give you a cloth. Some of the clothes that we even give to people here, they will not know those clothes have been worn before. Because we would dry clean them, iron them, package them and give it to you. When you receive it, you think you bought a new clothes. Yeah. I get what I'm saying now. Sometimes we want to give you even want to give you rice or stuff. That's why you can never hear. We will not make it public and say, okay, it's time, we want to give her rice. No, she has not eaten for the past 3 weeks. She now told us, you now say, how can we be here? You know, I don't know why God is bringing that to my heart. But you are not growing in generosity if the reason you give is to bring attention to yourself. So increase in generosity. Of course, you must also increase in ministry. Ministry. That's what you find in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. He said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding, must always increase. So you notice, God wants you to do much more in His work. So if actually you are praying for increase, and you're not increasing and making progress in your service of the Lord and His work, you're not actually growing. That's not growth. That's not the full increase that God wants for you. Are you getting what I'm talking about, friends? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. Always abounding. That's that word, periso again. To abound. To super abound. Again, in quality and quantity. Now, what are you supposed to abound in quality and quantity now? Your work of the Lord. In other words, if you used to preach to 5 people, at the end of this one, you should be preaching to 30 people. That means I'm abound, I'm increasing. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that, and I'm telling you sincerely, if after this month, all your testimony is that you had more money, you missed the whole essence of this meeting. I'm just telling you the truth. That's why I told you when I was starting, I struggled to call this prosperity summit. Because what the Lord was trying to show me was not, but he told me, don't you remember I told you some years ago that prosperity is not about money? Remember I told you last 2 years? It's not about money. Money is just one of those things that happen when you prosper. And I'm telling you today, increase is not about money. I get to the point. You must increase, abound in the work of the Lord. Abound in the work of the Lord. My desire is that in 5 years' time, people are thinking, when is Pastor going to slow down? In 5 years' time, you will see me much more busy than I am now. You've not even seen anything. Why? I must always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Yeah. There should be much more to do. Much more to do. Much more to do. I used to win 3 souls now. I want to start doing 7. I want to start doing 8. I used to serve in this team. Is there more that I can do? I used to be in this. I want to start doing much more missions. There must be something more you are doing. Always abounding. Are you following what I'm saying now? Give me like Amplified Classic. I love Amplified Classic of this verse. Let's read together, everybody. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Now, look at what I want to say. He said always abounding. What is in the parenthesis? Always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord. That's increase. You must do more than enough. The way you hear about God is increasing us. It's not just giving you money. He also wants you to increase in ministry. Doing more than enough. Doing more than enough. Going out of your way. Covering more grounds. So you see someone says, you know, I used to come to church every Sunday, Thursday, Saturday. But now I think I have more money now. I have to just start coming on Sunday. He's not increasing, he's decreasing. Because that is not the increase of God. God doesn't increase you financially and allows you to decrease spiritually. Are you following what I'm saying now? You know, I used to do evangelism, but now you know there is now more money now. We don't have to evangelize with preaching again. You can evangelize by sharing money to people. It's a lie, yo. I hope you know it's a lie. Make up your mind that you're going to be a wealthy guy. But as wealthy as you will be, you will still carry this to your feet and tell people that Jesus loves them. Yes. Make up your mind. That is when you are done talking to them in their shop that Jesus loves them. They turn on their TV at home. They see your national TV talking. And they're trying to compare. Is it not that same guy that came to my shop? Will God do that for you? Yes. Now that's wholesome increase. That's the increase of God. Now you have all of that, but then when you're done preaching, it's when they get home, they say, Glory to God. You know, when they are done preaching to you and you are done preaching to them and they insult you and all of that, and you just lead them to Christ, collect their number. As they are watching you walk away, you walk into your latest edition. And I'm wondering, Jesus Christ. Oh, God will increase us. I say, God will increase us. But it will be the increase that He brings. This kind of increase. Not an increase that will steal from us spiritually. Not an increase that will steal from our families. Not an increase that will steal from our academic life. An increase that will be wholesome. Wholesome increase. So just imagine, just come and just enter the car and say, is he the owner of the car? I am just so humble. You know, one of the major proofs that God is actually working in your life is that when people finally find out who you are, they should always say, you don't look it. I get the point. If you come to, and it happens to me all the time. Sometimes I talk with people so freely, and when they finally say, are you Pastor Henry? You didn't act like it. I say, yes, that's how we roll. You know why? When you are something, you're not trying to be that thing. Is we are not anything, I'm trying to be something. You know, the poor always wants to act rich, and the rich acts normal. Are you following me? The poor tries to dress like the rich. The rich is just there. God will increase us. I have your seat. Let's just begin to wind down. I have 10 more minutes. But we must abound in ministry. Are you following me? We must abound in ministry. Look at that. Always being superior. Excelling. Doing more than enough. Do more than enough. I think I've given this admonition before. Do more than enough. Go out of your way. Always preaching much more. Are you getting the point? You know, you see people that are just serving the Lord and as before they get admission, they now get admission. They say, sir, this course I got admission in. You know, it's nothing. But it's medicine. But it's law. It's very, very serious. If I can't become a church as normal, law, I can't. No, that's not. That's crazy. So God gave you admission. Gave you increase in your studies. And then you decided to step down your spiritual journey. That's not the increase of God. The increase of God is wholesome. It's wholesome. Another area, I've talked about spiritual increase. Another area that God wants increase upon the earth is that He wants the increase of His body on the earth. He wants His church to increase. So I've shown you first, God wants you to grow spiritually. Secondly, He wants His church to increase and He wants you to play a role in that. And I can show you a couple of scriptures to show you that God wants His church increased. In that, now there are two major ways that I'll show you in the Bible today that God wants His church increased. First, God wants His church increased numerically. And so the increase that God brings our way must also include what we have to do in seeing that the increase of God's church happens. And I'm not just saying, I'm going to show you in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we looked at it earlier, chapter 3 verse 6, he said, Paul planted. Apollos watered. What did Paul plant? What do you think he's talking about there? What did he plant? Paul planted the church. Apollos watered the church. Do you have Passion Translation? Give me the Passion Translation. Paul planted the church. Apollos watered it. God gave it the increase. God made the church grow. If you have Passion, just find it very quickly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. NLT says, just find me Passion. NLT said, I plan to see that your heart got, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Amplified Classic said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was making it grow and He gave it the increase. What did Passion say? I was the one who planted the church. Apollos came and cared for it, but it was God who caused it to grow. So one of the things that God causes to grow and increase is His church. Are you following me? It was God who caused it to grow. It was God who caused it to grow. So you see what we are doing here. We can only plant. I've planted. That is watering. Many of you are watering. Everybody is working hard. But we must realize that it is God that can cause this work to grow. At the end of the day. It is God. Doesn't mean we are exempted from doing anything. Right? But it is God that will cause it to grow. And so you notice, God wants His church to grow. in Acts 16 verse 5, the Bible tells us, we're going to rush that, Acts 16 and verse 5, so we are the churches established in the faith and what? Increase the number. Increase the number daily. And that will happen to us here. But that is the plan of God for his church, to increase in number daily. And that word increased in number is that word perisuo, to abound. Are you following me? To abound. Acts 2 verse 41. To abound. God made them abound, grow in quantity and in quality. Let's do it together. God added how many? 3,000. That word added is that word prostitemi, which I told you means to add repeatedly. So God was repeatedly adding to them. I get the point. But it's God that adds. So it's one area. So we cannot actually say that we are growing wholesomely if we are not playing a part in the increase of God's church upon the earth. In Acts 2 verse 41, verse 47 rather, Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added, glory to God. The Lord added, that's how we say, well, prostitemi, God added to the church daily. Prostitemi, to add repeatedly. God added to them repeatedly. And I have a part in this. In Acts 5 and verse 14, Bible said, and believers, we are the more added to the Lord. That's what posted tell me again. Added repeatedly. God was repeatedly adding believers to the church. Repeatedly. So the kind of increase that we are trusting the Lord to give us should also include a continuous addition. So one way that to prove that this meeting has worked in this church and has worked in your life is that through you, there should be a continuous addition. Do you understand? Verse 24 of Acts 11. Bible said he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. That's talking about was that Barnabas? Yes. And much people was added. Give me like verse 23 of this verse. But I want to show you something. 22. Okay. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. You know, I was talking about wholesome growth. Barnabas is a perfect example. I've taught you with this man, Abi. Do you remember the first time, stay here, the first time we see Barnabas mentioned was in Acts chapter 4. How that he sold his things. Do you remember? And sold his land and brought to the church. And that the church nicknamed him Son of Consolation. So Barnabas was a rich man. He was even a giver. The next time we see Barnabas mentioned was when Paul got saved and Paul wanted to join the church and they said you cannot join the church. Barnabas was one that took Paul and brought him to the church. The next time we see Barnabas mentioned is here now. The church is now sending him on missions. That same rich man that sold his land in Acts chapter 4 is still the one on this mission. So, wholesome increase. The guy is growing spiritually. The guy is growing in generosity. And we are seeing what he did now. Now see the next verse 23. He went to Antioch. Who when he came and has seen the grace of God was glad, exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Verse 24. Read it to me. For he was what? Said he was what? A good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. That's the word prostitemi. By Barnabas, much people were added to the Lord. That's a man that is experiencing the increase of God. You won't say he's a poor man who is serving God because he doesn't have money. You just saw him in Acts 4 sell his land and carry the money and give to the apostles. And it wasn't once. That's why they named him Son of Consolation. He kept doing it until they gave him nickname. We see him also helping in discipling Apostle Paul. Are you following me? We are now seeing him. They are sending him on missions. Because he came to a place, much people are added. Trust God for this increase. Trust God that through your hands, there will be an addition. Numerically. Another kind of increase that will come to the church and will come through our hands
will be the spread of the word of God in this land. Not just at people being added, but the word is being spread. That's what God wants to do through you. In Acts 6, verse 7, the Bible tells us, in verse 6, the Bible tells us they set the seven deacons before the apostles and they laid hands on them and prayed. And in verse 7, the Bible said, the word of God increased. The word of God increased. Hallelujah. God's word will increase to us. Do you know that word increased in that verse? It's one of those words. It's the word oxano, to grow. Through them, the word of God grew. It enlarged. It spread through them. Through them. Acts 12 verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Shout amen, somebody. In our land, God's word will grow and multiply. That will be another proof that this meeting has worked in your life. That through your hands, God's word grew and multiplied. God's word grew and multiplied. That's what oxano, it grew and multiplied. In Acts 19 verse 20, we'll find it again. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word. So we are going to have the growth of the word in our land. That's one thing that God also wants to do. So a person growing wholesomely, having the increase of God, is growing spiritually, covering all the grounds that we've mentioned. He's also playing a part in seeing that there is an increase in his church. And so, church invitation, let me say this, church invitation, it's not just what you do because pastor said they should do it and pastor wants his church big. No, it's one of the major increase God wants to bring through you. I get the point. God wants you to be like Barnabas. Do you know it was this same Barnabas in Acts 11 that the Bible letter said in Acts 13, step it unto me, Barnabas, he still joins Saul on mission. A wealthy man like that. Growth. Increase. And the last part I'm going to talk about is that God wants an increase in your general welfare. So first, spiritual increase. Second, the increase of his body on the earth. Thirdly, an increase in your general welfare, your general well-being. God wants you to increase. That's where every other thing comes in. You know, Matthew 6, verse 28. Are you learning something today? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. You know when he say how they grow? He's talking about the word, I think that's what oxano, how they grow. He said, look at how the lilies of the field grow. Look at how they make progress. He said, they do not spin. They do not toil. They don't work as hard as you. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, your little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whatever that shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek after. For your heavenly Father knows that you have enough of all of this. Verse 33, seek ye first kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Hallelujah. Shall be added. In other words, seek ye first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and he will increase you in all your ways. That word added is that word prostitemi that we've been looking at. It means to add repeatedly. In other words, if you find God's kingdom, one of the things he does is begin to add all these other things. What are the other things that I've added unto you? He showed us in the previous verse, what to eat, what to wear, what to drink shall be added repeatedly. So it tells you that part of the increase God wants to bring into your life also includes your general welfare. And I'm going to show you a scripture that I've shown you already. Luke 2 verse 52. Jesus grew. Luke 2 52. Jesus grew. Oh, hallelujah. He grew. He increased in wisdom. And these are the areas that God wants to bring increase in your life. One of them is wisdom. You know, the real growth of your general well-being will include wisdom. That word wisdom, that word increase rather in this verse, is that word prokopto that I showed you. It means to drive forward. So Jesus drove forward. beating every obstacle. One of the areas he did that was in his wisdom. He became wise. God will make you wise. You must, you know, the Bible tells us in James, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, just one verse, let him ask. In other words, wisdom can be increased. Wisdom can be added. So Jesus grew and made progress in wisdom. Wisdom in ministry. Wisdom to do life. Wisdom to navigate circumstances. Wisdom to break through. It's one of the major things that God wants to increase in your life. It's still under your general welfare. A man that increases in finances but has not increased in wisdom, he's not a man I want to be like. He has too much money, but he's foolish. Think about that. And that's why some of you, one of the things you might need to trust God for this month, and I'm saying this by the Holy Ghost, is not actually for God to give you increase financially. Let God give you increase in wisdom. Last 2 years, I led you to pray prayer. Remember that prayer? Wisdom to make. Wisdom to manage. Wisdom to multiply. Because at the end of the day, some people lose money because they are foolish. Some, do you know that is, you know, last, on the rest of the fact, I was praying for you for spiritual ideas. Remember that? There is an idea, a wisdom God will drop in your heart. You will become a 10 times better than you are today. Wisdom. Now, a foolish man might walk into that kind of money, but he'll be so foolish to waste it. And I've seen that all over the place. Today he's a billionaire. And that's why, what's happening to some of you? I used to laugh with this, but it's actually true. Today you're a millionaire, tomorrow you are a mathematician. You don't get that? Today you have 1 million, and you're saying, let's buy that. Let's pick that. Let's buy that. Let's pick that. Then, 3 days after, you're sitting in your room. I got 1 million, then I spent. How did this money reduce to 45,000? You now remember somebody is owing you 3,000. Somebody is owing you 4,000. It will not change anything. You have finished the money. Even if others will owe you, pay the money, you are still broke. Hey, that thing, that boy, he said he will pay me. I told that guy, I said, keep the change. That guy I told to keep change. Where is he? Don't keep the change again. And also, some of those keep the change thing is still a mark of foolishness. Not if you have some, how this keep the change? It's because you have money. See, but for real, have you ever been broke and suddenly regretting people you told to keep the change? So they think, where did I tell that boy to keep the change? Foolishness. You have to grow in wisdom. It's one of the areas I'm going to focus on in this, like this week, this month. That God will help. Just have to be a bit wiser in doing life. Wisdom to make. Wisdom to manage. Wisdom to multiply. Wisdom can make you get 1 million and turn it to 10. Wisdom to make. Wisdom to manage. God put that word in my heart last year and it's very strong in my heart here now. Wisdom to make. Wisdom to manage. Wisdom to multiply. You know, I was explaining something to someone in the office yesterday. I told the person, I said, the way the world is designed. Now, listen. And I said this last 2 years. There was 7 years of plenty in Egypt. And there was 7 years of famine. You see, that cycle will continue in everybody's life. Not because God is bringing famine. I'm about to teach a very big secret. After 7 years of plenty, famine must follow. Now, it's not because God wants to make you poor. Listen. But the wisdom of God is that in the 7 years of famine, you will still have plenty. And how does he want to achieve that? Can't see what Joseph did in Egypt. He was managing the money. He was saving it. Let me use that agriculture to explain it to you. There is planting season and there is harvest season. Planting season, you are not harvesting anything. You are just planting. So what does God expect me to be eating in my planting season? What I harvested last year. So if you are not, so what actually people call the year of famine, not like famine, is a year of planting. So that cycle of planting and harvest must be happening in your life. There will be a time where you just have plenty. There will be another time where you don't have enough. That time you don't have enough is actually not the time when God is punishing you. It is the time to plant. Have you not observed? It's when you don't have enough that you plant more. True of us. It's when you don't have enough that you go back to your drawing board. Huh? It's true. That's why you now say, okay, let's restart the Let's do that thing. let's look at this again. Okay, what am I getting wrong? Let me touch this. So that cycle continues. You know, I was telling the person yesterday, I said, look at how God planned things in Israel. He told them, do you know that every seventh year in Israel, they don't plant? They don't plant. They don't harvest. They don't plant nothing. It's the Sabbath year. And they asked the Lord, if we keep doing this, how are we going to be eating in that seventh year? The Lord told them that in the sixth year, I will make your produce so big that you have plenty of harvest, so that throughout the seventh year, you don't have to harvest. You don't have to plant. Do you know the wisdom of God behind that? He told them that in that seventh year is when the land will have rest. So when you start planting again from the eighth year, you have much more produce. Just that many people in their sixth year, they finish all the proceeds that come. So in the seventh year, they are crying all over the place. It looks like God is wicked to them. That time is when you are supposed to go back to drawing board and you are re-strategizing. While you are not broke. Are you what I'm talking about? So most times people say, well, there is up and down. There shouldn't be up and down. That time that there is down, God expected that you should have used the days when there was up to feast when down will come. So that there is a consistent flow. People look at you and say, do you ever lack money? The answer is no. Not because there is no time that the flow looks like it has stopped, but because God has given me wisdom to manage what I have. Are you getting the point? And I'm telling you this, I see people that earn 1 million naira every month, and yet they are hungry before 20th. I see people that earn, it's not like 1 million is big, our country is an interesting country, right? But I see people that earn lower than that, who are quite comfortable. And when we get there, we're going to touch it. That wisdom, saying, what do you mean I'm comfortable? Are they driving big cars? It's part of the wisdom. That there is a level you will be in life. You shouldn't buy 13 cars. Just wisdom. Even if you can afford them. Seller. I'm telling you the truth. Okay, my car, I bought V8, all those V8 engine cars. If you buy those, they're very good cars, though. Right? I'm going to drive one very soon. You say, why? I'm going to be rich, man. I think I'm going to be poor. I'm going to be rich. But some of those cars, one vroom, 3 liters. Just one. Boom, 3 liters. Second one, 3 liters. And you notice, you are not the weapon fashioned against yourself. There's a prayer I always pray for people. Whenever I'm dedicating their cars, I always say, this car will not take from you. Because there are cars that exist to take from you. But I just pack it. I always pray that I say, this car will not take from you. This car will add to you. This car will not be a means of reduction. But sometimes it is. But most times it's just foolishness. So Jesus increased in wisdom. I'm not talking about money, but it's just general how to do life. So many families are struggling because the man or the woman is just foolish. Basic wisdom just applying your home. Your home will blow some. Basic. Basic. But as basic as they are, some people don't have it. Some don't have it. Wisdom should tell you that when money begins to go down in the house, you begin to check your spendings. Check your, let some things wait. But that's the time you are screenshotting bag. And I told somebody this evening, let me tell you something. Anything I cannot afford now, not only do I not like it, it's not in my phone. There are cars that I like, but I can't have them in my phone. What are they doing? They should just go. I don't notice them. I don't even like them. But don't worry. Let money enter. I'll buy it. You have always loved it. Now it's just about just being wise. Homes are struggling because of lack of, you know, part of the wisdom that God will minister to us in this teaching is the wisdom of patience. We're going to get all of that. Do you know why many of you borrow? The spirit of borrowing is associated with the spirit of impatience. They work hand in hand. And I'm going to tell you, borrowing and impatience work hand in hand. Patience will tell you that the thing you are borrowing for today, give it 1 more week, you will have money to do that thing. Secondly, patience will tell you that some things can actually wait. And there are some things that if you don't do it now, you will not die. Nothing is going to go wrong. Now, Jesus increased in wisdom. What else? Jesus increased in stature. Now, stature is not a spiritual thing. It means physical body, you grew physically. Now, I'm not saying you can lift weights. But I mean, Jesus had physical development. Now, that talks about your health inclusive too. He had a perfect health. He had a perfect physical growth. And so, do you know, you are not so wholesome. I should trust God to come out from that. You are not having wholesome increase. If you are making a lot of money, but you are spending all of it in a hospital treating yourself. The increase of God will include increase in your stature, your physical life, your health, and that will happen to you. Somebody that is, which is it, World Health that said wealth is health? I mean, health is wealth. Which one? One is the other. Both of them are themselves. But it's actually true. Give me like an NLT of these verse translations. He increased in stature. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. Give me Amplified Classic. I'm seeing. He grew in wisdom. What is that wisdom? Broad and full understanding. In stature and years. Give me a message. I'm just looking for another translation. I used a different word. Yes, Jesus matured. Growing both in both body and... So, stature is talking about physical growth. Like bodily growth. So, Jesus wasn't having... And if you're a parent here, this is one of the verses you pray over your children. You will grow in stature. You will grow in wisdom. Now, I pray that for my son almost all the time. Lay out so that use this verse. You will grow in wisdom. You will grow in stature. You will grow in stature. You will have full development. You will not finish growing and they say, oh, the liver is bad. You are having full development. You grow in stature. You will not finish growing and they say, ah, it's like one kid did not develop fully. He just suffered. No, it's not possible. Your brain will reach its full development. Your liver, your heart. That's prayers you pray for your kids, for real. Pray for them. It's not when they should be talking, they're still struggling to talk. They're having full development. When they should be walking, they shouldn't be struggling to walk. Full development. You increase in stature. Glory to God. Pray that over your kids all the time. Pray that over your kids. Whenever you hold them. You know, one of the things that should happen to you, especially if you're a man here, every time you mistakenly or suddenly or carry your children, make sure you're saying a word of blessing over them. Just shortly. Say, ah, my boy. I call my boy the blessed child. I do it all the time. Say, ah, the blessed child. And there's a reason. Get that much later. Because every time, yes, I told you, every time words are spoken, something is added. But every time, if I speak over you 1,000,000 times, each of those times, because no word of God will return to him void. Once I speak his word, something happened when I spoke. And so Jesus increased in stature. Speaking over yourself too. If you are struggling with a health condition, trust God that this month, my health is coming back in shape. Coming back in shape. It's one of the increase that God wants to bring your way. And Baptist said he grew in stature because of our time. Let me just rush. He grew in stature. Then he grew in favor with God. I'm showing you what that means. That's spiritual development. And then he grew in favor with man. And I want to say to you, God is going to give you favor with men. It's one of the areas that I'm trusting God will increase us. That you will, as a man, will naturally begin to favor you. You know you can increase in favor. You know, there's a moment I taught you on this favor thing. Was it walking in favor or something like that? Or the workings of, yes. The workings of spiritual favor, yes. The workings of favor. Favor, if you increase in favor, you know, let me tell you why it's important that Jesus increased in favor. 98%, if not 100% of everything you need in this life is within the realm of man. In other words, anything you need in this life, almost everything you need, we have to pass through somebody to get to you. You are praying, God, give me financial prosperity. Someone has to patronize your business. I get what I'm saying now. Someone has to employ you. Someone can even dash you money, but it's within the realm of man. So when you have favor with men, you will find out that things will come to you easily. So when you are not in favor with men, you know what it means to not be in favor with men? It just means that people around you don't just like helping you. They just don't like remembering you. For some reason, you're not the one they want to favor.
And if that's your story, that will end this month. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to like you. But come on now. Everybody shouldn't hate you too. You know, God said something to Paul. God told him, give me that verse. He said, I have many men in this city. Yes, let me get that. I have many men in this city. Let me see if I still have that in my... Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you found it? Huh? Acts 18, verse 10. Yes. Acts 18, verse 10. But I'm trying to show you that if God gives you favor with people, you will have not, as in, many things will happen. Look, I said, for I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. So God said he has many people. In other words, God will cause all his people that he has in that city to favor Paul. To make sure that nobody will touch him. You know, do not have any gospel in this city. Imagine God turns the heart of all people in this city towards you to favor you. All his people. Leave unbelievers. All his people. Do not have any gospel in this city. And many of you will enjoy this favor with men. You will increase them. So that, because if you are applying for a contract, you need this one. Increase in favor with men. If you are applying for a job, you need this one. If you are competing with someone over something, there are three people submitting proposal. You need increase in favor with men. That once they look at your own proposal, they say there is something about this proposal. I don't know, but I want to favor this one. And we have many of those testimonies in this church, but it will multiply this month. That's why you must trust God. If you are trusting the Lord, you are applying for this, especially if there are four people, three people, five people going for the same thing. You need increase in favor. Jesus increased in favor with men. You know what it means? It means everywhere you find Jesus, people wanted to do things for him. This will be your reality. I'm trying to hold myself back because I just sense a very strong anointing here. But this will be your reality. Favor with men. You're going for a job. Favor with men. You just find out. You submit the application. Somebody says, I just want to do it for you. Because I want you to remember, anything you are going for in this life, you are not the only person. No matter. You are posting on your status. You are not the only person posting. Are you the only one selling what? Are you the only tailor? Are you the only baker? Are you the only... What are you doing that you're the only... And let me even tell you what you may not know. You are not actually the best. Say amen. Now, whether you say it, whether you agree or not. You are selling cars. Some have finer cars, cheaper cars than you. You know, people have cheaper cars because somebody might just be having problem now. He just wants to sell off his car at a giveaway price. Why will people patronize you? Why will they give you what you are looking for? Why will it be you they will come to? Is God favor with men? Increase in favor. Increase in favor. It's in the Bible. And you know, when I get there, I'm going to show you. Now, I showed you many examples. I showed you Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah's story? And many of them in the Bible. Remember Esther? Everything you are going for, you are not the only person going for it. So why is it you they will give it to? Why is it you they will attend to? But guess what? It's going to be me. Because I'm increasing in favor with man. And it's not because I'm going to do too much. Increases of God. He'll bring me to favor with men. Do you know if this church, there are churches that have favor with men. There are churches that lack it. And the church should not lack it. I pray that prayer over our church. There are churches that people just don't like. And sometimes they've not done anything. It's like there is a bad vibe about that church. And sometimes it's a very healthy church. The devil has cast something. Bishop Edeko said many years ago, when the church was not growing, said he prayed, he was on a fast, and the Lord showed him in the spirit a thick blanket over the church. The devil can cast that in over people and over churches. So people just see, I said, I just don't know. There's something off. You know, there's a sister, I don't know whether she's here. I ministered to sometime last year. Somebody was coming, a real life story. This one is not what the prophet said. It happened to me. It happened to someone, one of us here. Had to send that in packing. He said, once guys begin to get close to her, once they talk 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, the person begins to withdraw. It was one of them that opened up and said, the sincere truth is that
anytime I come around you, I feel like I'm with a man. I say, which kind one be this one? So I feel, he said, you look like a man. Some of our friends know this story because they joined her in the prayer when the thing was, before she gets my office. I look like a man. So I just come towards you. I lose every affection or anything I have. Say, but when I'm not seeing you, when you're not there, I can't wait to be with you. But when I just stand with you, are you guys getting what I'm saying? The other person told her, different of them, the other person told her, the truth of the matter is, I think you should work on yourself. You have order. But she doesn't have any. That is only when that man comes around that he begins to perceive that thing. Every other person, all her friends, I should tell her friends, just tell me the truth. You know, you get the point. Don't lie to me. The devil is a wicked devil. But more real is the power of God. You can increase in favor. That when people come around you, they perceive this kind of good aroma around you. They just want to do things with you. I'm around it. They will say that is a vibe you are giving out. That vibe is calling me towards you. That vibe is attracting me to you. I just want to help you. I just want to help you. How many of you at any time in your life have come around here and prayed with you or something, and you began to experience a special favor from someone, from people? I remember some of you. I remember you and Yedora too. I remember. So when the office, I think that was 2 months ago, right? I was just like job, because you don't know what he's into building, he builds. Amongst many other things, an architect. I'm saying I need contract. Came to town the contract. I think it was where you went to buy something, as in random store. Just went to buy something, and they're going to take a conversation. They say, "Are you built? I know somebody." And the beauty contract came from there. Let me tell you, it's not hard when the favor of God has rested upon you. There's just that vibe. And what she was telling me, when I felt like, why would you give a building contract running into millions to someone you just meet, you don't even know? I get what I'm talking about. The problem is the person that gave him the contract had done many other buildings. So that simply means the person has a plethora of engineers that he has worked with. But for some reason, I just want to give it to you. That will be your story from now. I want to say to you and to everybody that's enjoyed that, that is not the end. Much more, because that's what he's saying. Remember, he increased. That's what in favor. And finally, before we go, God wants you to increase your finances. I'll close with that. Your finances. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. God wants you to increase your finances. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God is able to make all grace about what you give me, like NLT. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I put finances last. Yeah, some people put it first. I put it last deliberately. Not because God is less interested in it, but just to show you that there is an order. You get the point? It's the spiritual first, then before that things follow. Say, God will generously provide all you need. Say amen. Then you will have everything you need. That's God wants to increase you financially. And I will show you how in the course of this teaching. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8, you know, verse 7 to verse 8. Look at what he says. Give me King James before we go to all of this. He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among the princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he had set the world upon them. Give me NLT. We're closing with this now. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. For all the earth is the Lord's, and he has set the world in order. Even if you think you're a poor man, he can put you on a seat of honor. I'm telling you, God wants to increase you. Give me like GNT, any other one, Amplify Classic, anyone. He lifts the poor from the dust and raises the needy from their misery. He makes them companions of princes and puts them in places of honor. Do you have like Amplify Classic? He said, he raises up the poor of the dust and lifts up the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit the throne of glory. Give me Message Bible. He puts poor people on their feet again. He rekindles burned out lives with fresh hope.
restoring dignity and respect to their lives. A place in the song. For the very structures of the earth are God's. He has laid out his operations in a firm foundation. He can rekindle burned out lives and give you fresh hopes and keep you hoping again and keep you believing again. He will restore dignity and respect to your life. God is the lifter of men. He's the lifter of men. Financially, he's the one that brings increase. You know, maybe I just read the last scripture. It just came to me very strongly. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The Lord said to them, chapter 8 verse 18, the preceding verses, he told them, one day you're going to get into a land. You're going to get into a land where you have everything. He told them one day prosperity is coming. But he said, but thou shalt remember the Lord, for it is he that giveth the power to get wealth. You might have worked hard, but remember, God is the one that gives power to get wealth. He's the one that giveth the power to get wealth. Jimmy, like NLT, he's the one that gives you power to get wealth. NLT says, remember the Lord your God. He's the one who gives you power to be successful. So that is hard work, but that is the increase of God that makes one successful. And I don't just preach this, I live it. God brought me to where I am today. God did. God did. And I normally say to pastors that are training under me, this idea that when a man's church is big, he has big crowd, he's going to have big money, is actually not true. Except that pastor wants to begin to compromise and begin to steal from people. If you do not steal, there is no guarantee that if there are 10 million people in your church, you have $10 million. It's no guarantee. It is God that makes rich. It is God that prospers people. Except you want to compromise and cut corners. Some of you know, the days when I even didn't have anything as a pastor and as a believer and all of that, as a minister, there was a time, I don't know if you know, the early days of Champions Foundation, when we could do meetings, 300 people, 400 people all over the place. Sometimes 400 people all over the place. Do you understand? Some people are trained and mentored. We're all over the world, traveling all somewhere in the UK, in the US. Listen, except you want to start begging for money as a pastor, which I will never do. Except you want to start stealing from people, say, oh yeah, you want to prosper, give me 10,000. I'll pray for you, have 100,000. That's when God will not lead you to do that. But the real increase in finance that comes from God is God that brings it. Yes. I've learned how to navigate it. I learned it first from Brother Hagin. But sorry, when we get there, we'll talk about it. As a way to navigate the increase that God brings. Remember, you're not the only shoemaker in the world. You're not the only shoe seller. You're not the only tailor. You're not the only anything. You're not the only doctor. You're not the only lawyer. God gives increase. And he will give you that increase in your finances. He will give you that increase. Of course, there are things you have to do. But amidst all those things, after all those things, God is the one that gives the increase. Remember that story, that text we started with? Paul planted. Paul said, I planted. Apollos watered. But God gives the increase. The Lord will increase you. Not just financially, all round increase. So as we close, I want to say something to you. Trust the Lord this month. Go back and, today is 1st of May. Go back and reorder your expectations. Every area I've touched, say to the Lord, this year, this month, I want to work on this area. I need an increase in this area of my spiritual life. I want to get better in my love work. I want to get better in this. I want to just touch those things. So that you, every Sunday and Thursday you come here, you come here with an expectation. Because every time we gather here to teach on this, somebody's life is changing. Every Sunday, every Thursday we gather, somebody's changing levels. Are you following me? God will prosper you. I mean real prosperity. God will give you his increase. He will give you his increase. He will give you his increase. In the name of Jesus. And can I say over you, God's speed has come. Remember I told you on Sunday? May is for God's speed. God. So I think God's speed. Well, it's not God's speed. I say God's speed. It's actually an English word, actually. It means to be well. And I showed you many things on Sunday. It means to be in the right place at the right time. It means to
be to move with the pace God wants to move with. I'm telling you, His speed has come upon your life now. God's speed has come. Doors that were closed will open. Struggles will be ended. Challenges will come to an end. The favor of God will rest mightily upon you. Men will look at you to favor you. Men will look at you to favor you. Things will turn for you favorably. Things will switch in your direction favorably. In the name of Jesus, I saw in the spirit a pendulum swinging. And God said it will swing in your direction. It will swing to your favor. It will turn to your favor. In the name of Jesus. The Lord will increase you more and more. And I'm speaking God's word to you. Though your earlier days be small, but your latter days shall greatly increase. Though you are struggling with your love work now, but the latter days shall greatly increase. Though you are struggling in your walk with God now, but the coming days are better days. Even though you are struggling your finances now, the coming days are better days. Today you are struggling with soul winning, but the coming days are better days. You are enjoying the increase of God. Wholesome increase. Full increase. That which makes rich and has no sorrow. That's your reality. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and your voice. Let's give God praise in this place. All about you. Take 3 minutes. I just sense that in the Holy Ghost. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. For you are glorious and worthy to be praised. You are the Lamb upon the throne, and all to you I lift my voice and say, you are the Lamb upon the throne. Do it one more time. For you are glorious. And worthy to be praised. Yes. You are the Lamb. I see the breaking of a brand new day.
in which the name of the Lord our God is glorified. I see the breaking of a brand new day. I want to give you a word from the Lord. I don't care where you are, where you are now, in your spiritual journey, on your work, on your finance, but there is a new day that will break. There's a new day that is coming. There's a new day that is coming. No matter where you are today in your journey, no matter where life has put you today, there's a new day breaking forth. There's a new day. There's a new day. It's not just about the month of May, but it's starting this month. It's a new season God is opening up, and it will go for a long time. It's that season of plenty. It's that season of abundance. That even though your beginning is small today, the latter days shall be better. Out of the ashes of my dying today,
I see the breaking of a brand new day.
Sing with me, everybody. In which the day. The Lord said to us, it will not be long. And I'm saying it will not be long again, because the days are here. The days are here. The days are here. The days are here. We shall drive forward, breaking every barrier and every hindrance. We shall drive forward. The limitation is removed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have to close now.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.